Well, thanks for coming. Willie asked me last week if I could give a brief report on my trip to Africa back in March. I think Willie had actually double booked tonight. So, but for those of you who don't know, I work with the Milne Family Foundation, and through the foundation we support the Lord's work, Christian mission, a variety of different aspects of Christian mission, both in the UK and overseas. So in March, I spent 3 weeks in Africa, visiting Ethiopia and Zambia, and visiting some of the work that's supported through the foundation over there. Now, Hebron has connections with both countries. Bert and Florence, obviously from Zambia, and Willie and Angela spent time there in Zambia at Chivuma, and Robert Riddle's son is in Addis with his family, so there are connections. And Nihi, I think, is here tonight, who will know both countries through his involvement with WorldLink. With all these trips that I'm privileged to go on, I always come back greatly encouraged to see what God is doing and how he's working through his people across the world. So I hope you find this little report encouraging too. And it's always good for me to give a little report like this because it lets the family see that these trips aren't holidays. There is some hard work involved. But let me speak briefly about Ethiopia first. If you could put the first slide up. Thanks, Jonathan. Just a few points background about the country. It's, the east of Africa, the Horn of Africa in red. It's a landlocked country, and it's bordered in the north by Sudan, Somalia, Djibouti, the Islamic countries. Has a population of 110 million. It's the second largest country in Africa in terms of population behind Nigeria. So it's a big country. And it has something like 80 ethno-linguistic groups. So there are 90 different languages spoken in Ethiopia. The two largest ethnic groups are the Oromos and the Amharas. They together account for 60% of the population. And so they are the two most common languages, Oromo, which is spoken in the country, and Amharic, which is spoken in the city, certainly in Addis, the capital. Now, that made communication a bit difficult. Sometimes when I was preaching, I had to preach through two translators, Amharic and then Oromo. So it was quite challenging. Ethiopia is a fast-growing economy. It's a country that's on the rise. There's a lot of investment going into the country. But just the final point in the slide, which is quite an important point, it has a Christian prime minister, a young man, he's early 40s, Dr. Abiy Ahmed, a genuine born-again believer. The Christians that I met spoke very highly of him. And he not only has an influence in Ethiopia, but he has an influence across other African countries. So remember him in prayer, the prime minister. Next slide, please, Jonathan. So this is Robert Reeve and Mula Geita. Robert Reeve, they call him Dad Robert. Mula Geita, they call him Muli. I don't think I need to point out which one's which. Now, Robert and his wife, Sheena, who passed away a couple of years ago, they were missionaries in Ethiopia. They went out in the late 60s, and they were there until the communists took over the country, and they were kicked out in 1978. The communists kicked out all the foreign missionaries out of Ethiopia, so they were kicked out in 1978. 1991, the communist government was overthrown, and Robert went back over to Ethiopia, and the country was open again to the gospel. And Robert would go back for 3 or 4 months every year, and he's been doing that since 1991, and he's built up some really good relationships with local church leaders, for example, Mula Geita. Now, Mula Geita is obviously an Ethiopian. He was called to the work at the age of 19. He actually came across to Scotland to have his cataracts removed, and I think Willie organized for that operation. But he's a great guy, really intelligent guy, and he's been instrumental in the growth of the church, in Ethiopia over the last 20 years. And I think Muli and his team have seen something like 200 churches planted in Ethiopia in the last 20 years. A country that was completely closed to the gospel under communism. And then when the government fell, you know, God's just blessed that country. 200 churches just from Mooley and his team. An amazing work. So, you know, Robert Reavy talks about this being Ethiopia's time in the sun in terms of God moving in the country. You know, national revival. God is really working in that country. So these are some of the church leaders that I met when I was in Ethiopia. This has been a huge focus of Mulegeta over the last 5 to 6 years, equipping and training local church leaders and full-time workers in the country. And he's done an amazing job in organizing this. He's now established a training seminary in Ethiopia in conjunction with the University of Minnesota, their theology department. And these guys that you can see here, they've all been through the training seminary. It consists of a 3.5-year training course, comprises 10 modules, and it operates on a multiplication effect. So after each participant has done 5 modules, they then have to go back to their hometown, their home village, and they've got to start a work. And they also have to train 5 other Christians from their own village or town. And that's how Mulegeta started this. He went over to, I think it was Tanzania, and after he had done 5 modules, he came back to Ethiopia, to his hometown, and he trained 5 other people, and it's just had that multiplication effect, and that's how it's grown. So Mulegeta is now the director for the whole of Eastern Africa in terms of this training seminary. But just to give you an idea of the growth, the scale of this, in 2013, when they started it, they had 75 pastors in training. Now they have over 1,700 pastors being trained through this seminary in Ethiopia. They also have an additional 2,200 church planters that are being trained. And to date, they have planted 1,250 churches. So it's amazing investment in people, training up church leaders within the country. Next slide, Jonathan. So while I was there, Robert and Muli organized a bit of a road trip for me to go on. So we traveled in that Land Cruiser that you can see in the top. It was packed with stuff. There was 8 of us, a team of 8 in this Land Cruiser. It's a good job it had windows. So we went to the west of Addis, which is kind of in the center of the country. Now, that's where the work began. That's now an established work. So we spent some time visiting the churches there. And then we traveled down to the southwest of the country to a place called Kaffa. That's where coffee originated. Coffee is the major export of Ethiopia. And we visited a church plant there that was planted a year ago. And then we came back to Addis and we did some Bible teaching for about 50, 60 full-time workers. Next slide, Jonathan. I put in some pictures just about, you know, the road trips, meal times. If you don't like sharing food, don't go to Ethiopia. How they eat is they put a big pancake in the middle of the table, then everything gets dolloped into the pancake and you break a bit off, mop it up and then eat it. And it looked like a carpet underlay, and it actually tasted like carpet underlay as well. But next slide. So I'd been eating injera for 3 or 4 days, and then we came to a hotel and I saw this poster in the dining room, the honey special burger, and I thought, I'm having that. I just got fed up of injera. So I had that, and then I got food poisoning from that for the next 2 days. So that was a lesson. Next slide. That's just African electricity. The electricity cut out at most of the hotels at night time, so it wasn't reliable. Next slide, please. So here, west of Addis, this is where we started off doing a bit of a tour. We visited the churches with some of their leaders. And we visited about 5 or 6 churches, probably within a 200-kilometer radius of Addis. Now, this work is established. In 1993, when they started this work, there were 2 churches. They've planted 160 churches in this kind of radius of Addis over the last 20 years. They've also, through the training seminary, they've now established strong sort of church leadership in a lot of these churches. And the way this happened, they would just, you know, take the gospel from village to village. So they would have a van, and there would be five or six evangelists, and they would drive to the furthest point. They would drop off two evangelists in a village, then drop off two in another village, and then they would go back and pick them up, and they would just spend days just evangelizing the villages, and that's how the gospel spread across all these different villages. They've also got a big campsite up here called Ginchy, and that's used by the churches, you know, to hold camps, weekend camps and week camps. So that's established. That's an established work. And the next slide. So where they're focusing now in Ethiopia, they're focusing up in the north, which is the Muslim area. So they're evangelizing up the north of the country. You know, and that's pretty hostile territory, can be dangerous. And they're also focusing evangelizing now on the southwest of the country in Kaffa. And this is pretty rural country. This is where, you know, the witch doctors hold sway. There's about 70 witch doctors in this region. And it's pretty primitive. And we had to drive 2 days to get to Kaffa. So that's the church in the village of Adios. You can maybe see it in the bottom. It's just a mud hut. We actually slept in that church. And then on the Saturday and the Sunday, we did some Bible teaching, simple Bible teaching. A lot of these people can't read. So we did some Bible teaching on the Saturday night, and then we did some Bible teaching on the Sunday morning. And this church was planted a year ago by Mulugeta and his team. And the way they start off by planting a church, they'll begin focusing on children's work. And then when there is, you know, to get inroads into the families, and then when there's some signs of, you know, God moving in that community, they'll then get a full-time evangelist who will live in the area, and then the work just builds from that. So that church was planted a year ago. There are now 50 believers in that church, and they have 17 believers enrolled on their baptism classes as well. So that's just in the space of a year. We met the first convert, who was the local drunk in the village. They asked him to help out with security, and that's how they built up the relationship. He came to faith, and he used to beat his wife, and his wife saw the change in his life, and she became a Christian as well. So the gentlemen at the top, there's maybe about 12 of them, these guys walked to church on Sunday morning, and they walked about 10 or 12 kilometers. You could see their village on the hill in the distance, and that must have been a 3-hour walk, and they thought nothing of it just to come to church on Sunday morning. And you know, it was quite a humbling experience actually to remember the Lord Jesus with them on Sunday morning. You know, there was no restraint in their worship. There was no reserve. You know, people in tears, just in appreciation as they worshiped the Lord. And as you taught the word, just a hunger, you know, just drinking in the teaching from God's word. So it was actually an amazing experience. Next slide, please, Jonathan. And then they had separate children's work. We had a children's evangelist as part of the team. So he took the children over to this building, and they had their own lessons. So, you know, there's about, I don't know, 20 or so kids. So they had a good time. And then next slide, please. So after that weekend, we drove back to Addis, and, you know, pretty exhausted after that weekend. But we did the 2-day drive back to Addis, and Mulugeta had organized for 50 or 60 of the full-time workers and church leaders to come together in Addis. And we did some Bible teaching for them, went through the book of Philippians with them over a day. And I just want to tell you about this chap on the right-hand side. This is Brother Andrew, and he was a Muslim, and he came to faith, and he went through the training seminary, and he led 8 other Muslims in his village to faith in the Lord. And so he's the chap that's spearheading the work in Ethiopia, in the north country, among the Muslim community. So the weekend after I left, Robert, Mulugeta, Andrew, and some of the other guys, they were going north to a place called Bati to evangelize that region. So remember, you could pray for Andrew and just pray for the work that's going on in Ethiopia. So we'll now move to Zambia. And just very briefly, a few things about Zambia. So Zambia is further south. It was a four-hour flight from Ethiopia. It's a much smaller country in terms of population, 17 million people. The official language is English, but again, there are over 70 languages. Chewa and Bemba, I think, are the most common languages. Poor country, like a lot of African countries, obviously. Most of the wealth in Zambia is concentrated either in the capital, in Lusaka, or in the kind of central copper belt region. But then as soon as you travel out into the country or just a little bit out of the city, or even in the city, it becomes very poor. 50% of the population are rural subsistence farmers. 20% of the population are living in slums within the city. 67% of the people living on $3 a day or under. So it's, pretty poor. Next slide, please. So I was visiting this organization called Share Africa. Now, Share Africa was set up by a man called Jim McPhail, a Christian. Jim would be in his 70s. He's a Scot. He now lives in Harrogate. He was previously in the oil business. He was pretty senior, I think, in the company that he worked for. And, Jim could easily have retired, had a nice life. He could have done well, enjoyed his pension and all the rest of it. But he went over to Zambia and he had a burden about the poverty that he saw among Christians in Zambia. And he wanted to do something about it. So he came back and he set up Share Africa. And, he's poured most of his own money into this organization. But he wanted to build something that would be sustainable and show the love of Christ to people and that would help, with the poverty in some of these places in Zambia. So he set up Share Africa in 2002, and his vision was, because there are so many poor farmers in the country, his vision was not just to raise money, to give people money, because money's not the answer, and money can cause problems, but he wanted to set up a sustainable enterprise that would create jobs, it would improve efficiency, and it would fuel growth across a lot of these communities. And his strategy was based around helping farmers to control the entire value chain, if you like, from seed to supermarket. So just on the next slide, what they did was they bought land over in the east of the country in Chapata, and they have a seed farm there. So what they do is they grow good quality seed and they give that seed to the farmers, and the farmers then have a better chance of producing a quality crop. Share Africa, once the farmer has grown his seed, they then buy the crop back from the farmer. And next slide, please, Jonathan. They then have a factory in Lusaka and they turn the crop either into peanut butter or into cornflakes. They then sell those products and that generates profits, and all the profits then go back either into an orphan program or a farmer's program or helping churches across the communities. So the people that they help are all linked to local churches. It's aimed at helping Christians who are experiencing severe poverty. Next slide. This is Eddie Kahn. And Eddie runs Share Africa's operations in Zambia. Now, it's difficult to get good people in Zambia. And Eddie is a bit of a diamond. So he runs the Share Africa operation. But he's got an amazing story, and I spent a lot of time with him in the car. We traveled over to Chapata, which took a full day to travel. So when I was in the car with him, I asked him his story, and Eddie was a Muslim. His father was a Muslim, and his mother and father divorced when he was young, and his mother looked after him to begin with, but he grew up in extreme poverty. And he told me, there were times where they hardly had anything to eat. He used to eat mice. One time he ate a tortoise, I remember he told me, and he would look at, you know, forage for food in rubbish dumps. An amazing story. But then as he went to live with his father in Lusaka, and his father was a heavy smoker and drinker. He developed cancer and he died. And then Eddie's uncle started to look after him. And Eddie's uncle was a Christian. And that's how Eddie came to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's now an elder in his church. And you know, every day I was with Eddie, his phone went nonstop. And this was people phoning Eddie for help, either his family or either people in the church. And we had to stop numerous times so that he could transfer money to help people. I mean, just a really big-hearted guy. But there's a lot on Eddie's shoulders in terms of, you know, the church leadership and also running Share Zambia's operations. So remember Eddie in your prayers. And the next slide. So this is the orphan program that Share Africa run. They have over 200 orphans enrolled in the program. You know, a lot of families have lost either, you know, one or both parents. HIV is a big problem in Zambia, poor healthcare, etc. All the orphans are linked to a local church, and you know, they've got a shortage of sponsors. You can go onto Share Africa website and you can sponsor a child. It's £20 a month to sponsor a child. And every child is visited once a quarter, and they produce reports. You get access to school reports. It's quite a, you know, it's a very good operation that they run, and they provide, you know, the money to help get the children educated and just to provide some support for the families as well. So that's the orphan program. Then the next slide, they also run a farmers program. So, you know, they'll support farmers. There's over 100 farmers supported. Again, and you know, £20 a month to support a farmer. Each farmer is linked to a local church. And again, they're just providing them with training. They'll provide them with tools. They'll provide them with money so that they can buy small holding, so that they can, you know, plant seed, etc. Next slide. So while I was there, we did some church visits as well in Zambia. This is a church called Nidiawala. That means forgotten church. This was actually three churches that came together on the Sunday. And again, this was a really poor village. Last year, the crops failed, and Share Africa were able to give them some food that was able to feed, I think, 5,000 people. Now, for the last 2 months, they had been eating mangoes and pumpkin leaves for the last 2 months. You know, it's quite humbling, actually, to speak to them after church and hear what life is like. So, next slide. So, after the church service, this same church, Nidiawala, three of the elders actually presented us with three live chickens. I mean, you couldn't believe it. Here are folks with absolutely nothing to eat, and they presented us with three chickens. Now, what do you do with three chickens? You can't refuse it. So what we decided to do was to buy the chickens from them, just to give them some money so that they could have something to eat, which meant we had to transport these chickens back to Lusaka, 600 kilometers. But, you know, that's just the heart of the people. And then the next slide. So when we got back, one of the elders sent us some pictures. These were, I think, six or seven people were baptized just you know, a week or two after in the church there. Next slide. And then we were traveling from Chapata back to Lusaka. We were 3 kilometers away from Mozambique, the border with Mozambique. And this was the weekend of Cyclone Idai, I think it was called. So you could see in the distance, you know, the skies were just black, and there was lightning, which, you know, you can't see in the photograph, but I think it was 1,000 people or something killed in Mozambique. And, you know, that was just a short distance away. And meanwhile, in Zambia, there's drought. People have got nothing to eat. So next slide, please. Then we did another church visit to a church, Sichubu Church. This was about 40 kilometers away from Lusaka. And again, this was another area where they had nothing to eat. The crops had failed. They had no water. You could look at the maize that they were growing, and it was just withered up and dried. Share Africa, after we visited here, they were able to go and produce, it's like a porridge mixture with fortified with vitamins and minerals, just to give to the villagers, just so that they had something to eat. But it was quite distressing to see that. Next slide. It was another church visit in Lusaka. That was just some Bible teaching at Lusaka and with the young people as well. Next slide, please. And then we did some home visits. We visited a number of the orphans that are supported in the program in their homes. And we must have visited, 12, 14 different families in their homes. That's Jim there. So he's got his notebook and he's taking notes of the family circumstances. And the next time he goes back, he'll know what's going on. I mean, it's very, very thorough. It's very detailed. You probably can't see that, but that's where that lady lives. And there's five of them in that tin hut, mud walls, tin roof. She actually rents that. She has to pay money to live in that hut. I mean, you just couldn't believe it. And then the next slide. This was actually the home visit that probably stayed with me the most. This is a grandfather, Nathan, with his two grandsons, Clement and Maxwell. And that's where they live, in that mud hut just behind. Now, he was suffering from stomach problems. He had nothing to eat. He asked me for medication and, just desperate circumstances. But these two boys are now on the orphan program. So that will help get the kids educated. And you just think, what chance, these children got. But Eddie, who I mentioned earlier on, Eddie can relate to these kids. And it was great to see Eddie kind of speak to these boys, because he lived in worse circumstances than that. And, he can relate to their circumstances and, share the gospel with them, etc. And they go to the church that I mentioned earlier on. That was just a cute kid that was looking in one of the family homes. But, life is simple, but there's just a happiness about people. It's infectious. It's great to see. Next slide. So just some learnings for me coming back from that trip. God is sovereign. God's in control. I just thought of Ethiopia, a country that was closed to the gospel through communism. And now, the church is just growing so significantly. The gospel is powerful. Think of the lives that are being transformed. People in Muslim communities, etc., they're being transformed by the power of the gospel. And then I just thought about, Jim, faith without works is dead. It's so easy just to, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, but it's so easy actually just to shut the poor out of your lives and not do anything about it. So, that kind of spoke to me. And then just finally some prayer points. Ethiopia, the Prime Minister, think of the training seminary that's there, that God will continue to raise up leaders and workers. The work that's going on in the north, in the Muslim community, and in the south with the rural community, Brother Andrew. And then Zambia, just remember Jim and Eddie, the vision, the wisdom that they need just to continue Share Africa, about finding local workers, the funding situation for them, and then just the drought situation in Zambia as well, remember that. So thanks for listening. Thanks for the opportunity just to share. And I hope you find that enlightening and encouraging too. So thank you.